Rode Microphones, the choice of today's creative generation. This podcast is sponsored by Rode Microphones, the Australian pro audio powerhouse making incredible gear for podcasters, vloggers, filmmakers, and musicians. Rode is at the vanguard of innovation for audio solutions for podcasters, offering groundbreaking products like the Rodecaster Pro, the world's first fully integrated podcast production studio, and PodMic, the ultimate podcasting microphone. Find out more about how Rode can help you cut through the noise at rode.com/podcasting. That's rode.com/podcasting. This podcast was recorded using Rode microphones and technology.
Hey everyone, this is George Edelman, editor-in-chief at No Film School for the No Film School podcast. Today, I have an interview I did with Charlie Sextra, who's a Sundance programmer, and he's been a senior film programmer at the Sundance Film Festival for a while now. So he's programmed and watched a lot of movies and shorts and episodics, which is what we're going to talk about today, because we were really interested in learning more about the indie episodic program at Sundance. What I think is really cool about this is that it's a little different. It's unique. It's kind of at the forefront of what people are doing now. There is more happening in this sort of like short form episodic space than there was 10 years ago, certainly, and longer. So Charlie really breaks it down for us and gives us, I think, even a good sense of like what they look for as programmers when they select content for Sundance. And that's not just features, but indie episodic shorts, everything. So listen in, enjoy, and be sure to stick around for all our Sundance content. We are going to have daily podcasts from the ground at Park City as we talk about what's going on there. We're going to bring you a lot of interviews with filmmakers at Park City about their projects. We're going to be doing a bunch of roundtables with various people who have worked on and brought us the stuff that's at Sundance this year. So definitely keep listening and head over to nofilmschool.com and see what we've got coming up content-wise, because we have a lot of posts about Sundance and this year's festival. Enjoy.
Right. It becomes new.
Yeah, and I think that the, you know, we can just kind of jump into it, but I want to kind of start maybe by getting a little bit of background in general and like context. If you can like help sort of provide context for people that like what about this program is exciting and new, but also different than what is offered elsewhere. And I feel like that's kind of like, it's... what's the best way for me to put it? It's like there's a lot of ways that have been established for a very long time of finding your way in. Mm-hmm. And mostly it's like feature films. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of shorts festivals, of course, mm-hmm. but that's kind of its own like separate thing. But this, I feel like, emerges as there becomes more of an industry for people working in like episodic short format storytelling. Mm-hmm. And that's going to only grow over time, I imagine.
Totally.
But you're the person who knows more than me about it. Like that's, but to me, that's part of why it was like, hey, this is cool, and we want to talk about this more and learn more about this and bring more information about it to our audience worldwide, because this is a place that, like, I can't tell you how many questions we get about this type of content and what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Totally. Yeah, I mean, that's like the interesting thing that always happened at the beginning when we were deciding if we were going to do an indie episodic section. We talked to a lot of people in the kind of episodic industry and talked to them about this idea, and everyone kept saying like, there's not, this was 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, there's not really a pathway to series from independently producing something.
Right.
That's not really a thing. And we were like, okay, but we do see creators making stuff. And now we're gearing up. We were getting, again, 5-6 years ago, we're really gearing up to this golden age of TV. All this idea of like distribution and everyone just like churning stuff out.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
it just makes sense that this is going to happen. Like, right. it makes sense that the industry is going to evolve because there's more opportunities, there's more outlets now, that it's just like, and creators. That's ultimately Sundance and all our programming was always designed around the kind of the Redford idea of like, we're supposed to be showcase and mirroring what creators are doing.
Yeah.
And so that's why our program over the festival from the beginning has evolved and different things have come in. Short films came in, international cinema, obviously that existed before, but like New Frontier, right. like VR, we're supposed to be responsive more and reflecting like the artists, what artists and creators are doing. And so
that's interesting to me because I had never heard it put that way, but it's more like the reason there's all these programs in Sundance to kind of recap is like, because these are the ways creators are working.
Yeah. So yeah, Sundance we aren't creating them.
Right, right.
Yeah, we aren't creating them from scratch and telling people to go do this.
Hey, fit into this box that we just decided you should fit into. It's more like, oh, you're all making these. Here's where you can showcase them.
And we can showcase and try and encourage it in a way. And that was, like, in with the indie episodic stuff, it was always a big question mark. People kept saying that to us, and we'd be like, yeah, okay. Well, let's see what can happen. You know, like this is where creators are going, so we're going to keep supporting them.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, there were a lot of similar creators that we were already supporting in the film world were like now interested in doing this, you know, like this episodic work. And we're like, okay, well, that's great. Then let's go support them in that. And let's go support creators like that in that space.
So 5 or 6 years ago, things happen so fast these days. Like so much changes in 5 or 6 years. But you were saying like the changes in the industry and like at that point, people weren't as enthusiastic, basically, about this as an outlet or as a showcase.
So what first happened with us that even gave us this idea, which again connects to us following creators, was the big thing that happened was we first started showing in 2013, Top of the Lake, Jane Campion series.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first episodic thing we ever showed at Sundance. Again, a great creator.
Yeah.
Was attracted to episodic material, and like Sundance Channel had it, and they reached out, and they were like, "Would you guys ever do something episodic?" And we're like, "We will watch a Jane Campion series," and we loved it, and so we're like, "Yeah, we will of course play this. Like, of course we would play this." And so that was the kind of beginning of it. Then we experimented. We played like the Jinx and stuff. But the thing that brought the new idea in was Animals, the series Animals.
Okay.
And so that was the animated series. It was on HBO for like 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah.
So Mark Duplass, again, a relationship that we had, a very, very long relationship. He reached out to us and was like, hey, we're EPing this animated series. I know you guys have played episodic work before. We have like 2 episodes. We're trying to go to series with it, and we're supporting these creators. Would you ever showcase something like this? And we're like, we will take a look at it.
Yeah.
And that happened. We played it 6 months later. Again, 6 months later, it sold to HBO. Again, a very different thing than a film going to Sundance. From my understanding of the business, which is very little, you can't do a bidding war overnight and have a TV series. It takes there's a lot different contract than what has been established at Sundance. So it took many months, then finally was established, and then that became, you know, we still have always kept maintaining showing big profile stuff that has distribution in place because
Wu-Tang last year.
That was indie episodic. That was produced independently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually produced independently. They shot the entire thing independently and then Showtime bought it.
Wow.
When it was done. It sold to Showtime within the month, 2 months after we had invited it.
But I should know that.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
Yes.
But but that shows you an evolution and stuff.
Right.
That someone went and even shot this whole series independently by themselves.
Well, then, so then that takes me to the next question, which is I think where you're going anyway, which is that so you're showcasing things that were created by like high level relationships you already have, like you mentioned. But then there became an opportunity to showcase things that people were independently creating.
Exactly.
And that's where the indie episodic as a program comes in.
So everything at the beginning, before we opened indie episodic, was all through established relationships,
right.
People reaching out to us.
Right.
So the animals coming to us independently, becoming the series and everything,
happened outside of Indie Episodic as a program.
Exactly.
Got it.
That was
okay.
Pre,
got it.
But that right there, that experience was the kernel of
idea. I see.
And so while we still maintain, we're still going to be showing big episodic stuff with distribution in place, it just got this thing in our head of like, oh man, like, again, we were talking to people at the time. We're talking to a lot of people in the industry about, you know, independently produced episodic, exactly what I was saying about how people were just like, there's no pathway to series.
Yeah.
Independent. People want to control it from the beginning. That's how it is. And so we just kind of were like, yeah, but this just happened. What, like, this animals thing just happened.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
I see.
And then it was just the connection of that and like what Sundance is and the idea of what Sundance is and that people go make these things by themselves, and then they find distribution, and they get it there out to the world. Like, we just thought that's what Sundance is. Like, that idea is what people expect of Sundance.
Right.
So maybe we can try and encourage a new system, encourage in whatever way we can encourage. We had no idea. But if we can encourage a new system, a new way, because again, as much as selling independent films at Sundance is a very established thing now, I mean, it wasn't 20, 25 years ago.
Right.
You know, it's like that. Now it's established system. And so it's just like, well, let's see if we can try and encourage as much as we can encourage something.
Yeah.
So we got it really in our head of like, okay, maybe let's see what's into being independently produced out there. So this was actually, this is our third year of Indie Episodic.
So we're like at 2016 or something.
It would have been 2017.
Okay.
So yeah, we're in our third year of Indie Episodic. In 2017... It was 2016, but going into 2017 festival.
Right.
We opened submissions to episodic work.
So can you tell me what, when you say open submissions to episodic work, at that first early stage mm-hmm. of it, what would a submission be like? Just one episode, like a pilot with?
We allowed a pilot episode. We allowed a multi-part.
Okay.
If people produced a whole season, if
okay.
they had a couple episodes, I think we limited it to like submit to us 2 hours. If you
okay.
2 hours or less
right.
of what you have.
I was gonna say, if you get somebody who's submitting like their 10 episode hour long like series, and you're like, yeah, we're not gonna watch 10.
Because also realistically,
right,
for the
yeah.
most part, even if we were going to play it, we assume in our heads we're probably just gonna play the first 2 episodes
yes.
if it's that long.
Yes.
So we don't need to see all of them.
Yes.
So what we did, we've always been very cautious about this and like how we approached it. And so we decided to open the submissions. We just opened submissions to episodic work. We did not establish a section. We did not announce that there will be a new Indie Episodic
right.
section because we had no idea what we were going to get. We just wanted to see what we were going to get. And we didn't plan in our heads what it was going to look like, how many projects we were going to play or anything. We just went through the programming season. We watched all the projects. You know, the group of us that make the episodic work, we sat in a room at the very end, talked about our favorite ones, what ones we really felt like we wanted to play and thought there would be value in playing. And then we kind of created our idea of how it would look at the very end of the process. But we didn't know if we were going to see, you know, 20 projects we loved or if we were going to see 2 projects we loved.
Right.
So we didn't want to commit to anything.
Right.
We just wanted to see what was out there in the world and kind of just like test it.
And
then at the end of the process, we didn't even know
right.
if would we play a pilot? Would we play multiple? Right. Are we going to play short form, long form or anything? We just waited. We just looked at what the creators were doing, what was exciting to us. And then that's where we came up with our ideas of like, thinking about like a shorts program and getting kind of experience of multiple stories within a single program, we came up with episodic program. So we played like one episodic program of like 3 or 4 pilots together. We were like, oh, that'd be kind of cool if you just went and saw like 4 pilots of TV shows independently produced. And then there were a couple of really good web series, like 3 web series. They were all like short episode, like 5 to 10 minute long mm-hmm. episodes. So we're like, okay, well, what if we put these 3 web series together and we play like 30 minutes of each of them? So you get like a nice little like taste of each of these. It was just like literally in the room in November of like, what if we did that? Like, wouldn't that be interesting to do that? And so we did that and we were like, now let's go put it out into the festival. Let's go to those screenings and see if people like this. Or if people are
yeah,
like,
how
why
did it
am
go,
I watching
how did it
this?
Go at the beginning, the it very
was,
first one?
It was great. Like, it
yeah.
was just, like, really encouraging. And I think, you know, I think a lot of it goes to, you're talking about, you know, creators and like entry points.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe even now, like in the world that we're in, like this episodic space feels like even more independent. It's more bootstrapped. In making it, the budgets are significantly lower, you know, and it's really, a lot of it is friends just making, like, for getting your friends to do stuff together. Right. And so, like, I am being able to watch the submissions and stuff and see, like, the creators, you know, like, it really feels real bootstrapped independence. And so, like, we just kind of, I think our audience is really connected with that too.
Does it have to be, for it to qualify, does it have to have an idea that continues beyond a single piece? If it's a web series, because episodic is in it. And I think, like, and I ask this question also because I think people probably wonder, does it necessarily mean episodic in the sense of it's going to be an ongoing running concept? Or is it a one-off?
Like, totally. Yeah, for sure. Multiple chapters to a story. But, like, we played the Wu-Tang.
Right.
You know, and that's a docuseries, and that's a limited, you know, however right. many hours.
So people can have an idea that doesn't fit in the box of the feature, or it may have a unique runtime or a different length in mind, and it may be like a three-parter or something, and it fits into this. This is a very, like, a malleable context, for what you're creating.
That's what's, we even talked about it as we were, like, building it, even in that first year of, like, as our approach to it was like, maybe this is a total bust, right. You know, like, right. or maybe this is incredibly exciting and totally different.
Yeah.
And so our approach to it has always been like, this is a big question mark. Like, us approaching this and supporting this is a big question mark. And for us, that was incredibly exciting to see, like, let's go be a part of a question mark. Like, it, and also too, when we would always talk about it, like, we were always like, this will likely change and look different every single year.
Yeah.
Because we're making this up as we go along. Creators, it's evolving so much as we go along.
Yeah.
That, like, we just kind of need to embrace that we're in a very, like, weird world of the industry. And we just kind of need to embrace that. So wanting stuff to look very differently. Some years we did programs, I guess it's 4 years that we've been showing works like this, 3 years then the episodic section. And, you know, the types of programs, their formats, their lengths and everything, it changes every single year.
Yeah.
And we kind of just, again, every year we just approach it as like, let's get to the end of the program, see what we love, and then see, like, what makes sense, how we can, like, make space for it.
Right. And you mentioned, like, golden age of TV and, like, I don't know, are we in golden age of streaming now too? It's, like, all kind of becoming this one thing where there's all this amazing storytelling happening, and some of it is told as, like, one story over how many episodes. Some of it is, like, we're only going to do 8, we're going to do 10, or we're going to do multiple seasons and all these different platforms. And that's what a lot of people are watching, or, like, younger generations coming up are watching YouTube more than anything else. So it's good for creators to know, I think, that Sundance has a program that isn't just about feature films or shorts, even though these can be short form, but that reflects more of, like, hey, what you're out there watching right now, or what you want to think you might want to do, or what your favorite content is if you're 18, you know, there's a place for it at Sundance, right? And, like, I think a lot of creators see Sundance and think, you know, for lack of a better example, I mean, they probably don't remember it, but, like, Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Even though that was a long time ago, it's still, like, that, I think, still carries the brand.
Totally.
You know, like, that's what Sundance is. But, like, this program, and part of why we wanted to explore it more and talk to you, was that because it reflects something a little different in the industry, bootstrapping, like, you only have enough time or enough budget to make something short. It's closer to a proof of concept, like the kinds of things people in the industry now are doing as, like, a pitch, you know, almost. Like, there's a place for that at Sundance.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. And also tied into that, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit too, is that, is there a viable marketplace outside, after, for shorts like this, for India, obviously for the big, like, TV stuff, like, they may buy and develop something. But what does it look like for your creators when they bring some of these indie episodics in, the really indie ones, without, like, any idea of having distribution afterwards or, you know, a development deal? What's their path like after?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a similar thing to a filmmaker coming into the festival. Some are going to get you know, massive deals. They're going to have massive releases of their films. They'll be have Oscar nominations for their first feature film, and they'll, you know, move to the very front of people's, like, lists of who, like, wants to work with them. Other films, you know, we're playing 120 feature films. You know, we're playing somewhere around, like, you know, 12 or 13 episodic projects. Other films, it's building an audience for the creator, whether it's within the industry or whether it's within the press, when it's out in the world. And so it is building like an audience and champions of a creator. So some have like dream stories of like going and making something. And, you know, we have projects that have indie episodic projects that they shot short form. They shot like entire like seasons of like short form, like 5 to 10 minute episodes that were then picked up from major channels and developed into, you know, full length, you know, 30 minute episodes. There's this one series, Hentified, which is going to be on Netflix. Oh, another cool series, The Chances, was on Sundance Now. Some people have created like tiny little projects and they've shot like an entire season. And like there's this one that we played last year called The Adulterers, which is a great series. Super tiny, super cheap. Basically two creators who wrote and directed it together. Sundance Now just bought it as is and just like put it on their like channel. But then for other people, it's, you know, they being at the festival, there's a lot of people around.
Sure.
There's a lot of like very, you know, valuable people to like your further career, whether it's other producers, creators, or like industry people. So some people are getting development deals.
Yeah.
You know, people trying. So it's like every path is completely different. But you know, but some people will. This will not be the project that will be made further, but now they have the ears of other people who want to make their next project. But then there are other projects that have specifically like gone out into the world and like have like success.
Small HD, real-time confidence for creatives. Founded by a group of independent filmmakers, Small HD has been innovating the on-camera and production monitor industry for an entire decade. It started by creating the first ever HD monitor that could sit on top of a DSLR. Today, it's products like the 703 Bolt that has an integrated wireless receiver and a daylight viewable screen. Today, its products include the 703 Bolt that has an integrated wireless receiver and a daylight viewable screen. Small HD is in the business of providing real-time confidence for creatives. With an extremely wide range of field monitors, Small HD prides itself on durability and usability. Whether it's paired with a mirrorless camera during a wedding or used for Video Village in Hollywood, Small HD has a monitor for every production. Powerful software tools, a unified user experience, and premium display quality help make Small HD monitors the industry standard. Stop wondering if you've nailed the shot. Start having more confidence at the camera with Small HD. On-camera and production monitors starting at just $299. For more information about Small HD products, go to smallhd.com.
So people who are making shorts, like this is the beginning of, or making episodic series on their own, this is very much the same. It mimics the way the feature world works in that this can be a building block, it can be a calling card, it can be a first step, it can actually be something you sell. Yeah. But I think, again, it's like people aren't used to thinking of this type of content as having that type of life.
Yeah, because that's just now happening.
Right. and it's a way in, like I was saying, which I think is so cool, like that we want to shine a light on the idea that like you can make a 5-minute awesome thing. You don't have to pull off a whole feature film, and
for
it doesn't have to be like a short film. It can be you know, reflective of this other content style,
and you can have just as much like potential, like attention. You know, like the attention that you would want could. I mean, honestly, doing a 10-minute like pilot could be just as valuable to you as going and making a feature. It depends on the situations, what they are, what can happen, but there could be episodic creators that just made a pilot for a 10-minute episode that walk away from Sundance with more people excited about their next project than someone in the U.S. dramatic competition.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the weird new world of it.
So. And I think that, like, that's exactly what's exciting about it for us. I was going to say, and maybe for everybody, but what I was also going to say is, what sort of dictates choices in terms of programming for indie episodic. Like we think, we kind of get a sense, I think, over the years of like what, and because indie episodic's a newish program, what a Sundance feature program, what a Sundance feature typically looks like, or what a lot of times voice is important. And like, and indie episodic also, second part, same question, there's a lab connected to it, right, with the Institute?
Similar to how we have labs for feature yeah. scripts and directors, there's labs for episodic creators.
So in that sense, though, the Institute is kind of like can help develop mm-hmm. some of the same types of talent and some of the same types of content. So for people to be aware that there's also a way to start developing that type of content totally. Through the Institute. But as far as the programming goes, like what's the... like what kind of goes into the decision making? What are you guys looking for? Like can you put any kind of finger on that?
Or yeah, the big question. Why do we pick the movies? You are correct in saying the idea of like a voice, yeah. really strong voice. That's certainly. I mean, the same people that I picked the feature films too.
Yeah.
So you know, like it's certainly our interest is voice. Really experiencing something that seems fresh and new to us.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the most original thing in the world. We just need something really like fresh and distinctive about
perspective.
It.
Perspective.
Thinking about in terms of when it comes to films too, it's like, how does this film compare to other films out in the world, other stories being told out in the world? We try and be very conscious of, you know, what's going on in the episodic space and what is a story like this or a creator like this, like, would they be an exciting voice out in the world as an episodic creator?
Yeah.
So it's championing that. Yeah, we're not looking, again, every project we approach differently, but it's like we're not looking for every project to be one that this will sell to HBO and they're going to go release this yeah. as is. But we would hope that, you know, this creator might be someone that HBO now wants to meet with, you know, yes. like and talk with. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely creators and, yeah, but it's impossible
voice
to.
Driven.
Yeah,
yeah, voice driven. I sort of ask knowing that you can't ever give the answers that people like, hey, so this is the genre this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
this is the exact, like, you know.
I can't tell you until after programming right. season.
Then I can look back and say. Yeah. But I think that what is valuable to understand is that maybe, for me, and part of why I asked, is that part of what goes into choosing indie episodic is a lot of the same mentality for Sundance that
totally.
Goes into choosing in general, like yeah. with content. So there's a consistency there. And I wasn't sure about that because, you know, it's a newish program. It's a different
yeah.
kind of like way. So I was thinking, was it, you
and
know.
I like the idea of emphasizing too that, yes, like we played the Wu-Tang series that Showtime picked up. And it was very impressively made, like impressive production. They shot the entire whole like limited series of it, and so we happily played that because it was great. But there are other projects that are in the indie episodic that are a lot scruffier,
yeah.
a lot cheaper, a lot like DIY. And so there's no, it doesn't, you if you have something and you're like, it's not polished enough, it's like, oh, no. We aren't looking for, we aren't expecting everything to be polished.
You know,
like we're just looking for, we watch all this stuff, like, what are we excited about? Like, what do we think people will want to talk about?
Right.
And what do we think people will be excited about? And what do we care about at the end of the process?
And I think going back to something you said earlier, there's this idea of reflecting, like, what creators are doing. Mm-hmm. So you still probably want to also be an accurate reflection of what people are in the creative space interested in doing, in more than just what you're seeing in the submissions. It's sort of like, what's in the world? What are people excited about in the world? And what yeah. are they talking about, and points of views and stuff like that? So that goes with just this across the brand, really.
Yeah.
Like in terms of, yeah. I guess if there's anything else you can really tell me about indie episodic or about, you know, how the program's structured or about, you know, if somebody wants to learn more about this particular type of content creation and how they can
yeah.
maybe tailor what they're doing towards it. You know, if you're out there and you're thinking about ways to break in, again, I feel like this is a really cool way to reframe opportunity mm-hmm. for creators. Because like I said, it's like, it's always been shorts or features, you
yeah.
know, and the life of the short is different.
Yeah.
In the life of the feature, but this is kind of like somewhere in between.
I know, and it's even as you say that, I think about like shorts and features. You know, like I talked about, there's this project called The Chances. And so that came, we saw that, we played that in 2017. And that was a short form series that I think it was about like 5-6 minute episodes. We played that very first year. It was picked up by Sundance Now. They developed it out into 30-minute episodes. And the following year at the festival, we played the new Killer Films came on to like help produce it. And we played the long form version.
Really?
And it was now an entire season. So it was like 6 or 7, or it was like 6 hours long because it was, you know, it was like, you know, 10-30-minute episodes. And so it even mirrors the shorts to feature. Like
right.
You go make a short, right. You go make a short version. It's like they make right. a short version of a season right. and they got to make the feature length version of the season.
Right.
Or like this year we played this project Work in Progress. So we played earlier this year. Which was it? One of the Wachowskis came on to it. I think it was Lana.
Okay.
Came on to it. So it was just a pilot episode. After they like right into the festival, Lana came on as like an EP on it. It sold to Showtime. They developed it out to an entire like first season of it, and it's now currently just now airing on Showtime. That was just earlier this year. Like this,
right.
that was a year ago
right.
that it was playing at Sundance, and all they had was like a 15-minute, 20-minute pilot. Of a TV show, and now it's already on Showtime. So it's just this weird new world of, I don't know what's going on.
No,
you know, those are kind of the more Hentified is another one that I mentioned. That's Netflix, which is another one that was short form, and now it's going to be a long form. So it's like your short to feature thing.
Right.
But yeah, I think it shows for creators. You can go do what kind of speaks to you. You can go kind of create in the form that matches the story that you're telling. And if you do it well and you do it right, I think, you know, the sky's the limit and there's only like potential in like what can happen afterwards.
And there's more and more of a place where that can be showcased.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I think 10 years ago, people were going out there and creating their proof of concept sizzles or pilots or specs or whatever and thinking like, maybe I'll take this into a pitch meeting and see where it goes.
Yeah.
But now there's a place where you can actually show it and then get it into development without having to do all the pitch meeting stuff. It's like you're going to actually bring that stuff to the fore.
And we even get to screw with that process of someone has like their proof of concept kind of like pitch material where it's only kind of existing purely within the industry and say you're going to do your meetings and you're showing them stuff and they're like, not interesting. You know, like getting passed on. We're kind of disrupting that process because we're like, okay, before you show it to them, why don't you show it to, that was the big thing. I'll go back to with Animals. And when Duplass called us to talk about that Animal series, he was like, all the TV execs are already at Sundance. He's like, everyone in the industry is at Sundance for the festival.
True.
He's like, all the TV execs are already there at the festival because they are there meeting the creators. And they're taking all these meetings with all the filmmakers.
Yeah.
And so he was just like, and they're all like jealous that they don't have screenings for themselves. You know, like, and they don't have like a screening that they get to go to where like they feel like
they
it's
get to
serving
discover.
Their pure interests. And they get to discover. And so it's like, instead of that like screening happening just in the executive's office at like whatever distribution channel, they're now having to do it, you know, in the Egyptian, you know, like with fellow like creators and like fans there too. And it changes perception, but also it informs the perception of maybe those executives that they weren't getting before because it was just themselves.
It's very hard, and I think this is a good thing to contextualize for everyone. It's hard for anybody, executive, any human being, to get a sense of whether or not something's working alone in an office or on their laptop or whatever. But if you go to a festival and you're seeing a bunch of them and you're seeing audiences react and you have time to take it in the same way, you get a sense of like, wow, that there's potential. Or I see the voice of the creator, or I like the energy is just different. And I think it's exactly right. Like as TV streaming, episodic, whatever we want to call thing, this space that's emerged and become so powerful, there's so much enjoyment and there's so much content people love out of it that there needs to be more spaces where it's like workshopped and farmed and like grown.
Yeah.
And so instead of just like, TV comes through this one pipeline. Like it always has, you know, and this disrupting that and making it possible for an executive to get excited about new talent in the TV space is, you know, TV festivals hasn't really been a thing.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, there's a couple.
Yes.
And one I will mention too, I've just in this year's program that I think might be interesting to you and...
Yeah, actually, if you can go on and tell me a little bit about this year's program and what's quickly. Different about this year's program and what your sort of thoughts are having, you know, seen it coming through to us.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. So we have our second Steve James project in the episodic. And it doesn't feel like a coincidence that that is like the case. I remember maybe 6 or 7 years ago being here at Sundance programming feature films. He submitted his feature film, The Interrupters. Mm-hmm. Great, great documentary. And his original cut that I think he submitted to us was around 4 hours or so. It ended up being around like two and a half hours. But I remember being so excited to be able to get to watch 4 hours of the Steve James documentary because his documentaries are always interesting. They're always like incredibly human and interesting. It's like, that's why Hoop Dreams was a very long movie. And you are never bored. You're always just like, this is always interesting. And so like, I remember then being so excited to watch 4 hours of Steve James that it's no surprise to me that now a creator like that, that maybe the form in which he was creating, even back to like Hoop Dreams, it limited him in a ways that now he has the freedom to do whatever he wants and to make it as long as it needs to be. And so he's now, his first one, America to Me, ended up, he just shot it, the entire thing, the entire season, and it sold to Showtime. Now he's got his new one, City So Real, which is following like Chicago mayoral campaign. But it's always just a strange thing to me that I always think about with indie episodes.
It goes back to your point, though, that it's like long or short, this is a space for the story at the length you need to tell it. And I think that's an important thing to reiterate that, like, I have a really big epic idea, or I have a really small, like, and not small in terms of runtime idea.
Yeah, totally.
And there's a place for that where you don't, like, we used to talk about it like, it has to be at least 80 minutes, right? Like it's or whatever the feature limit is. It's like, no, there's a lot of different ways to tell a story.
Totally.
How long is your story?
Exactly.
And how many pieces does it come in?
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. Other interesting ones we have a French series called Laetitia. This is from Jean-Xavier de Lestrade, who is actually one of the creators of The Staircase. Do
you know
The Staircase?
Oh, yeah.
The great Staircase. But this is like true crime, fictionalized true crime story in France. So we're excited to play him. But then one very kind of unique project is called Untitled Pizza Movie.
It already sounds interesting.
I feel like this is y'all's. But this one to me is, you know, even a lot of the episodic stuff that we've played, even short form, everything like that, it's felt very much like, you know, TV, you know, like a fresh voice, but it's felt very much like it's trying to be TV like I've seen before. And I'm not being critical of that. But like it's had that feel. This is very unique to me. And it's hard for me to even think of an episodic show I've ever seen that felt similar to it. It feels far more like a documentary you would see at
experimental,
Sundance.
Borderline experimental.
It's DIY, very personal. It's this filmmaker, David Shapiro. He was nominated for Spirit Awards for documentaries in the past, like very kind of respected filmmaker. It's started in the 1990s, and it was about a pizza movie that he and his friend were making in the 90s in New York, where they realized the city was changing, and they wanted to go capture all the best pizza shops in the city together. And so they just showed up with their camera and the microphone. 90s era gear. It's like total 90s. Yeah. And it follows them, and the movie never happened. Like, this was just mostly for them to just kind of commiserate over the city and their, like, friendship. And it was just a project they did together. So this is like 30 years in the making of this journey that is very DIY. It's very personal because he's one of the leads in it, but it then follows him and his friend as his friend like goes off into the world and they meet this other person, this pizza chef, this famous like former convict pizza chef, and it kind of starts to follow these different journeys over like decade plus time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the story, but it's its own weird amalgamation of a lot of experiences. He's added footnotes to the end of the movie to help categorize and classify things that are like coming up within it. I've never seen anything like it. Like it is like, but it is like a totally original experience.
Right.
Done through episodic form. Yeah. So I'm very excited about this because this seems pure DIY. And I haven't really seen that much in the episodic space.
Do you have any idea, like, in terms of its budget? Or, I mean, we wouldn't want you to tell us, but like, in the sense of, like, you talked about how some pieces that come into indie episodic are, like, very polished, mm-hmm. and some pieces are very scruffy.
Yeah.
And does this one kind of fall into that category in terms of how it's put together and, like, how you guys are looking for things that fit what you're looking for, regardless of scale or investment initially or polish or size?
Yeah, I mean, the uniqueness, again, it's like, you know, along with voice and freshness, what you're really looking for is just a different experience.
Yeah.
So this is a totally different experience.
Yeah, because as I heard you describing it, I thought one of the things that it seems like strikes you see a lot of stuff, obviously, every year, is something that's like, I've never seen anything like this before.
For sure.
Is that one of those like touchstone things?
Yeah. Because
that really sounds to me like I want to see it just because like it's a time capsule and it sounds fascinating.
I'll just say, you should for sure interview David.
He's
great.
Okay.
Like, he's great and he will be all about. Like, he is just this really antagonistic, like passionate dude. Like,
I mean, how New York has changed since the 90s is just a fascinating subject all on its own.
This is kind of dizzying free fall into that.
Yeah.
Kind of explaining it, jumping around in time. He's like he's a collector of all things. Like, he's a, like, storage system, like all the stuff that he's collected. So there's these conveyor belts of things as he talks about them, like coming through in the series. But like, it is a pure expression of like his brain and like how it works and how he's seen New York over the past, you know,
interesting
20, 30 years.
Yeah. But I think that talking about that specifically kind of answers the question as to like what is being looked for, because I think that it's not that specifically, it's the idea of someone's brain being displayed or someone's human experience being displayed through their work.
Yeah,
that you can only get that way.
Yeah,
and I think that like, because indie episodic is flexible in the sense of scale or runtime or goal, it's even purer to that for creatives.
Yeah. So like with that, we're showing that as a standalone. We're not showing the entire thing. We're showing like the first two episodes and like a teaser.
And you said, and that has a role, already has a future at Showtime, or it's already.
No.
Oh,
no,
okay. It doesn't. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay. Nothing's happened with anything nothing. Everything is all like available.
Right.
At this point.
In the indie episodic, but you still showcase stuff that is episodic that is somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's important to make that distinction too.
Yep.
Like there's just like, at Sundance, there's premieres, and then there's world dramatic competition. Like, those are two different things.
Yep.
And I think sometimes maybe people don't understand that there are things that are premiering that are not competing for both awards or distribution.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, and I can't judge it at all. The, you know, people have very specific perceptions of Sundance, and it's like the entry points that they have for them.
Yeah.
And so it's like some people might understand it as this, this, and this, or, you know, everything they're playing in the Eccles, or only documentaries, or Midnight, or whatever. But we play 120 movies. It's quite an expansive experience. I'm, you know, one of the few fortunate people who have seen basically all the projects in the festival.
Oh, wow.
So, like, my viewpoint, including I'm now just caught up on, all like, the shorts, my viewpoint of, like, the festival and our program is it's crazy how, like, the range of, like, what's going on.
I'm only sorry we don't have a lot more time so I can talk to you about all the other things. But I do want to talk to you about, because I'm going... give me a couple things that you're like, definitely check this out. Like, you've given me one, but, like, okay, do you have any others? Yeah. Like, that you're just like, I'm really excited about this year.
Yeah, so and Untitled Peace Movie is very cool. Another one that is very fun that's got a big following amongst the programmers is Awkward Family Photos.
Uh-huh, yes.
So it's pretty, you know, it's very, you know, viral thing already of people sending awkward family photos.
But it's catching up, right, with the people who are featured in them. Yeah. So in meme culture today, this is huge.
This is the deep dive of the story of like the backstory of how photo came to be, what was going on in life, interviews all the family members.
And they recreate some of them,
and
right?
And then they all go take the photo together again.
Awesome. Retake. Yes.
So that's like a very charming, again, like short, you know, it's like short episodes.
Yeah.
But tons of potential.
Yeah.
Another really fun one is The Ride. This is another one produced by the Duplass brothers. Very, very cheap, low budget project. It's with Linus Phillips, who's been around a lot. But this is all like he's basically like drives a ride share, basically takes place in his ride share as he's this kind of like spiritual healer guru to like affect the lives of people who ride in his car.
Okay.
Each episode is a car ride, with the different person that he picks up.
Cool.
But this is cheap stuff. You know, it's this is really low budget stuff, but it's just concept idea and like, you know, a good evolution story of what happens over. And he shot the entire season, but I think the entire season is like 45 minutes or 50 minutes.
Do you know what he shot it on?
I do not.
Yeah. Well, I'll find out. But that's, again, it's like you said, it's easy to do. But it's from a technical standpoint.
Yeah.
It may be very doable, and the real juice of it is in the creative content, the vision, the idea.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exciting.
Yeah, those are some fun ones. We have a couple. We have one like short pilot this year. Again, like I say, like some years we play like five pilots. This year, I think we're only playing one pilot, like one standalone pilot, and that's nothing to do with. We got to the end of the process, and these were the ones that we wanted to play.
And then you kind of put that, like a puzzle. You put your program together based on, like, these were the ones we want to show.
When we basically approached the pilot that we want to play, and we're like, okay, it would work well with this. There's this Danish series we're playing called Chemo Brain, which is just really, really well done.
Yeah.
Really, like, emotional and funny and effective. And we like the tone of it matched with this pilot, so we kind of have the pilot precede it, almost like a short film preceding a feature.
Yeah.
So that's how it's like, now you get to play these two projects together and kind of make space for everyone. So,
right. Yeah. And also creating an experience for that audience, which I think also affects like the executives and the people looking at
And we just try and make sure it has the right energy. Like, up against each other, and they kind of match each other, but not too on the nose.
So, cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing this again. I was really excited to get the time to talk to you about it, and I'm excited for us to share it.